God is good. He is good. Debbie and I celebrated 22 years of marriage on Friday. We did. And the reason I tell you that is because we celebrated, not only because of our anniversary, which is obvious, but we celebrated where God had taken us. And because there were times when we actually didn't think we would make it. And Friday was a celebration. It was good to look back and see where we had been, where God had taken us through difficult times and to where we are now and to where we believe he's taken us in the future. So it was a night of celebration. But I also want to tell you that this morning before we begin, if you find yourself in a place of real difficulty and you just don't know where God is and you think this is the darkest, most impossible place, I want to encourage you that God has got your best interests at heart. He knows where you are. And you need to trust him, you need to put your faith in him. Because we did that, and he's taken us through the darkness and brought us into the light. And so Friday was a real celebration for us. Now, I know, Leslie, you say that God loves you the most because you've got Audrey, but you're wrong. He loves me more because I've got Debbie. And every husband should be saying, no, you're wrong. He loves me the most because I have my wife. That was Friday. And today we're looking at Mary and Martha. Another encounter that Jesus had with two people in Bethany. I want to give you a modern day, up to the minute, Mary and Martha story. Monday mornings, as Anna was relating to earlier, is flourish when the ladies meet. They study God's word, they meet, they pray, they wrestle with life, their struggles, their victories, and they grow and become more Christ-like. And Monday mornings for me is sometimes a morning where I'm off, work, sometimes a day off, or I'm around in the morning before I go to work in the afternoon. So I had the morning to myself. Debbie was out, kids were at school, and I did what every man does when they've got their own time. I got down to some serious housework. I did. I was ironing, I was washing the floors, I was cleaning the bathrooms, getting the beds out, bed sheets out on the line, and the house was, I'd never actually seen it cleaner than ever. And you know, men, when you get to that point where somebody comes in, you go, don't walk on the floor, I've just polished and cleaned that floor. Don't sit in the toilet, I've just cleaned that. Don't sit in the sofa, I've just pumped up the cushions. Debbie came home about 3 o'clock. And I said, wow, what a morning you've had. And she said, oh, we were soaking this morning. We were soaking. I said, you were soaking? Yeah, we just lay down, we had soft lights on, worship music, and we were listening to what Jesus was saying. And inside I'm going, you were soaking and I was at home. And I'm hoovering, dusting, polishing. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was doing the housework. There's a bit more to it than that. So let's pray before we get into Luke chapter 10. Jesus, we ask that you would give us the heart of the women in our church who are prepared to meet and sit at your feet and to listen to what you have to say. Listen to your words of life. Your words that bring life, that bring healing and restoration. Your words that tell us who we are as your children. We ask that you would give us a heart to listen and to understand and to learn from the greatest teacher that you are. So bless us as we go into this part of your word. Ladies, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible for you, because here is one of those occasions where Jesus turned upside down the culture that he was living in. Because women at that time were of little or no value. They were seen with the lowest of the low. They were seen, but very rarely heard. And when Jesus came into Bethany, he didn't go to the high priest or the high council or to the synagogue. He didn't meet with the rulers. He met with Mary and Martha. And he went to Mary and Martha's home and he dined with them. And that's a real picture of how Jesus values you this morning. And in our church, you should feel valued. You should feel blessed. You should not feel second class, because we see in our church women who are gifted, who are talented, who Jesus died for. And you have an equal part with the gifts and blessing that he's given you to increase and bless God's kingdom here in Kirkliston and the surrounding area. So this is why this is one of the most important passages in the Bible for women. And for men, we need to sit up as well, because we need to look and learn from the lessons that Mary and Martha give us as men in living out our life. So let's look at this chapter again. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus had been out with the 72. There was a crowd following him, and he came into Bethany. Now, Bethany was a place that Jesus liked to go, because things happened when Jesus went into Bethany. He was baptized there by John. John was baptizing in Bethany. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. Jesus taught in Bethany. He healed the sick. He brought people to life in Bethany. And he'd been out and he said, "Let's go to Bethany. It's a good place for us to go." And he had friends in Bethany, Mary and Martha being one. I want to ask you this morning, is Kirk Liston a Bethany? Is Kirk Liston a place where Jesus wants to come? Let's go to Kirk Liston because we've got friends there. Because I feel anointed in Kirk Liston. People trust me there. People love me there. I feel safe there. I feel comfortable there. Is Kirk Liston a Bethany? I want to tell you this morning that Kirk Liston is a Bethany for Jesus. Because not only does Jesus want to come to Kirk Liston, he's actually already here. He's already ministering to people. He's already changing lives. He's already healing people. He's already setting people free. He's already bringing people into his kingdom. Bethany is the same as Kirk Liston, because Kirk Liston has the lost. It has the broken. It has the divorced. It has the mourning. It has the grieving. It has the rejoicing. It has those who are addicted. Jesus has already walked into Kirk Liston. And when Jesus arrived in Kirk Liston, in Bethany, he had friends to go to. He arrived with a crowd of people. The 72 were with him. Not only was the 72 his disciples, people who just followed on with Jesus, because they just wanted to see what Jesus was doing. And there was a big crowd walked in to Bethany with Jesus. And it's interesting that Jesus chose his disciples, but he didn't choose the people who were just following on. He didn't choose those who were there with him to try and trip him up and who turned out to be his enemies. But isn't it interesting that he chose his friends? And what kind of friends were they? Because two of his closest friends were Mary and Martha. Why did he choose Mary and Martha? They loved Jesus. Mary ran out in the street, "Jesus, Jesus, come in. You're welcome in my home." They loved him. They loved being with Jesus. They were welcoming to Jesus. They loved to talk to Jesus, and they loved to listen to Jesus. They just loved spending time with Jesus. And this is the key thing about the friendship that Jesus had with Mary and Martha. Jesus allowed Mary and Martha to minister to him. Well, how can you minister to Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Do you know what they did? Mary just listened to him. That's all she did. She sat at his feet and she listened to him. She allowed Jesus to speak. She didn't argue back. She didn't justify herself. She didn't complain. She just sat and listened to every word that came from Jesus' mouth. And that allowed Jesus to teach and preach. And she was ministering to him by just listening. And Martha ministered to him by serving him, by giving him a home to come. Because Jesus didn't have a home. didn't have a home, and he relied on his friends to give him rest and refreshment. And Martha ministered to him. Come in, Jesus, sit down. I'll get you some food. I'll look after your guests. And I want to ask you the question, do you have friends like Jesus? Do you have friends who you allow to minister to you? Do you have friends who you trust, who you feel safe with, who you can go to and they will just listen? This is what's going on, and they tell you and you just listen. Do you have friends who you can go to and you can rest in their home and they'll prepare you a meal? They'll look after you. They make you feel comfortable and safe, and they refresh you and they minister to you. I've got three. It's not a weakness, because I've got people who I go to. First one is my wife, Debbie. She knows me at a level above every other person because she knows me the best, and she ministers to me. Out with that, I've got two guys, one's in this church and one's in another church. But I know that I can go there anytime and they'll just listen. I can be refreshed. I can be strengthened. I can be looked after. Allowing people to minister. Or you might be somebody who thinks, well, I don't need anybody like that because I've got Jesus. I don't need anybody. I just go to Jesus with everything. Well, that's fine. And friends are not a replacement for Jesus. But Jesus did it. Jesus allowed two people to minister to him. So why shouldn't I? And why shouldn't you? Particularly if in a position of leadership, whether it's pastor or elder or ministry leader, any kind of leadership, it's a good thing like Jesus to have people who you can just speak to, who listen to you, who understand you, who refresh you and strengthen you. Jesus had friends, good friends, Mary and Martha. My throat's gone dry. So Jesus has entered into Bethany. Mary comes running out, invites Jesus in. Sorry, Martha comes running out, invites Jesus in. He comes in, he's still preaching, he's still talking. He sits down, and Mary, being Mary, sits at his feet. She drops everything that's going on, blanks out everything, and sits right at the feet of Jesus. Wow. What an example to us, just to sit at the feet of Jesus and focus on him, not missing out any word that he said, because she knew who Jesus was. She knew this was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who was raising her brother from death to life. She knew that his words were the words of life. She knew that his words were words that would guide her, would lead her, would strengthen her, would give her teaching and direction for life. And she sat right at his feet, close as she could possibly get, and distracted everything. Mary, being Mary, she was lavish, she was extravagant in her love and her compassion and for her knowledge of who Jesus was. Isn't that annoying when you're talking to someone and they don't listen? I do it at home. The kids are talking, I'm looking maybe through something going, What was that? What was that, Debbie? You want me to do what? And you're not paying attention. Mary was not like that, because she realised, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to spend this time with Jesus again. And here he is in my home, and I'm not going to miss out the opportunity. And so nothing else cares. Nothing else matters. I'm just going to listen to every word that comes from his mouth. And that whole position Mary found herself in was a perfect example of the student and the teacher. She sat and she was humble. She had a willingness to learn. She had a humility of heart to sit right at his feet. She wanted to hear every word that came from the mouth of Jesus. What a great example Mary is for us. Sit at Jesus' feet, concentrate on every word that comes from his mouth, and be humble and humble to listen and to learn and to live the words of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, do you sit at the feet of Jesus? I want to encourage this morning to have the very heart that Mary had, humility, willingness to learn, willingness to submit to his words, willingness to drop everything because you have a chance to listen to the King of Kings. I want to say this to men. I want to encourage us men to sit at the feet of Jesus, because Jesus gives us extra responsibilities. For most of us in here, we have wife. Some of us have children. And how do we know? How can we live out our life unless we are spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ? If you don't, as I've found to my cost, you go dry, and things that you are juggling in the air start to go, and you drop everything. Everything falls apart because you don't spend time at the feet of Jesus. You need to go there to receive his guidance. You need to go there to have his wisdom. You need to go there to receive his compassion, so that you can give wisdom, compassion, and love and guidance to your wife and your family. My father-in-law, he brings his family to the feet of Jesus. In summertime, we were up there on holiday. His two daughters were there, their husbands, and four of their five grandchildren. And every night at tea time, he brought his family to the feet of Jesus. He brought God's word out. And he didn't do it in a room on his own with his wife. He did it with and brought his whole family to the feet of Jesus. He read God's word. We listened to what Jesus was saying, and he prayed. And the next night he gave the Bible to me. You bring our family to the feet of Jesus. The next night he brought the Bible to Ian. You bring our family to the feet of Jesus. It didn't matter that his daughters were in their 40s. They look in their 20s, but they're in their 40s. It didn't matter that they were grown up and married and had their own children. He still brought his family to the feet of Jesus. I want to encourage you, men, bring your family to the feet of Jesus. And that was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And our sister Martha, Martha loved Jesus. She was the one who ran out of the house when she knew that Jesus was in Bethany. She ran out, "Jesus, Jesus, come in, come in. Bring your friends in. You're welcome in my home. I want to spend time with you. I want to serve you." She loved hospitality. She was hospitable. And she loved doing what she was good at. She was thorough. She thought of everybody. She didn't leave anybody out. She made sure her home was looking at its best. She was preparing the best of food. She made sure all her guests were being looked after. And it was one of those homes where Jesus felt safe. You'll know the homes that you feel safe in, that you're welcomed, that the hosts are so hospitable, that you feel relaxed, you feel looked after, you feel refreshed, and you feel fed. That was the type of home that Martha had produced. What a contrast to her sister. But they both loved Jesus. And God makes us in his image, but we both have different gifts and talents, but we love Jesus the same. I wonder if you're now thinking, well, am I a Mary or a Martha? Who thinks they're Marthas? One or two. Who thinks they're Marys? If you're not sure, you're probably a Mary. It's true, we're different, but God makes us that way. And we should love Jesus the same. But as Mary, as Martha is doing all this preparation and looking after her guests and making food, at the corner of her eye, she sees Mary, her sister, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what she perceives is doing nothing. Mary wasn't lazy. Mary wasn't a lazy person. But Martha was busy watching what Mary was doing, and inside, the storm was beginning to churn, and it was all getting too much. And eventually, she just lashed out, went right up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all this stuff and Mary's just sitting at your feet? T- tell her to come and help me. Jesus, don't you care? How could you say that to Jesus? This was Jesus who raised her brother from the dead. This was Jesus who she knew was healing the sick, was bringing new life to people, was setting people free, was casting out demons, who was giving the blind their sight, who was giving the deaf their hearing. And she said, don't you care? I wonder if you're saying that this morning to Jesus. Jesus, don't you care what's going on in my life just now? Don't you care what's going on in my marriage, in my family? Don't you care what's going on in Afghanistan? Don't you care about that family in France? Don't you care what's going on in this world that you say you've created? So why did she say to Jesus, don't you care? Well, I want to say to you that Martha said that to Jesus because she knew that he cared. Because she loved Jesus so much that she knew that Jesus cared. I wouldn't stop someone in the street and say, don't you care, if I didn't know them. That's the kind of things you say to people who you love, who you know care. And Jesus did care. Jesus did care, and she knew it. But for all Martha's honesty with Jesus, she let herself down badly. She let herself down because she complained to Jesus about her sister. And she did it right in front of her sister. Hey, Daya, don't you care that I've been working full time this week and I've prepared and led the prayer meeting on Tuesday and I've prepared and preaching this morning and the two pastors are sitting here in the seats and all they've done is strum a guitar and tap on the drums? Daya's looking a bit squirmy in his seat. And Clive and Colin don't actually know if I'm being truthful or not. Yeah, Colin's at the Grand Prix. But how awful does that sound when you complain about somebody else in front of them to another? It is so, so childish. It's the kind of things that our children do. Dad, he did this, she did that, stop him doing that. And they do it in front of the other person. And really, the Bible is clear. If you really have got a grievance or a complaint, you don't go to somebody else and say it in front of the other. You actually take it to the person who you have, if you have got a complaint or grievance with. The Bible is clear. And Mary did the opposite. And if Mary had actually taken a step back, sorry, if Martha... Why did they make their names so close together, Mary and Martha? If Martha had taken a step back, do you know what she was complaining about? She was complaining that her sister was worshipping Jesus. That's what she was complaining about. Her sister was worshipping and listening to Jesus. I wonder if people irritate you the way they worship Jesus. I wonder if it grates you. This was Mary who poured the whole jar of perfume over Jesus' feet. She had this knack of irritating people. The disciples said, look what she is doing, wasting that whole bottle of perfume on Jesus when that could have been sold and given to the poor. Do people irritate you the way they just worship Jesus in a different way than you? They raise their hands. They bow at their feet. They speak in tongues. They wave flags. How awful is that? They don't worship Jesus the proper way. But the point is that they're not worshipping you. Mary didn't pour the oil over Jesus' feet for the disciples. She wasn't worshipping the disciples or her sister or her home. I don't come in here to worship Clive or Colin or the church. I come in here to worship Jesus. And how somebody worships Jesus has got really none of my business, because that is exactly what they're doing. They are worshipping Jesus, their Lord and their Saviour. And Martha had become distracted. She'd become distracted by all the things that she was good at, all the things that were commendable: hospitality, caring, sharing, preparing food, keeping her house in order, all things that are wholesome, that are godly, but she had become distracted by them. And in doing what Jesus hadn't actually asked her to do, she'd become frustrated and she'd become angry and disappointed, instead of, like her sister, experiencing blessing and enjoyment. Martha had become more concerned with feeding Jesus rather than being fed by Jesus. She was more distracted by giving Jesus something, a meal, and receiving from Jesus the best wholesome food you could ever have. And she was missing out. And it's good to ask yourself, is there something I'm doing that I think is godly and right, but is now becoming a distraction and is keeping me away from the feet of Jesus? Have I been away from the feet of Jesus for far too long because I'm doing what I think he wants me to do? And Jesus, unlike Daya, didn't flinch when Martha complained. Do you know what he said? Martha, Martha. Only Jesus can say, Martha, Martha, like Jesus can. And it was the start of a conversation with Martha which showed how much Jesus cared for her whole person. And it shows us how Jesus cares for our whole person. Look what he says. You're troubled and anxious. Do you know when Mark Henderson was up this morning? I thought he was going to preach my sermon. And probably did a better job in 5 minutes. Martha, Martha, you're troubled and anxious. Jesus cares for your mind. You're troubled, you're anxious, you're stressed out, you're worried. I've told you not to worry. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about tomorrow. My yoke is easy. You're troubled and anxious about many things. He cares for your physical body. Martha, you're too busy. I've not asked you to do all this kind of stuff. You're busy, 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 busy about many, 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 many things. He's saying to Martha, why don't you just stop and sit down and come and rest at my feet and listen and be ministered to? He cares for your mind. He cares for your physical body. And he cares for your spiritual life. One thing is necessary, Martha. One thing is necessary. Not one thing you should try. Not one thing you should think about. Not one thing that might be good to give it a go and see how it goes. One thing is necessary. One thing is vital. One thing is life and death. And Mary, your sister, has chosen it. She's chosen to sit with me. She's chosen to listen to me. She's chosen to put her trust in me. She's chosen to listen to the words of life. The words that bring healing, that bring restoration, the words that bring refreshment. That's what's necessary, Martha. And Mary has chosen it. And all the good serving that you're doing, everything that's going on around you, that will all be taken away. But what Mary has chosen will not be taken away. So what does this mean for you and I this morning? Well, this is the great lesson. We need the heart of Mary, and we need the hands of Martha. We need Mary's heart to sit and spend with Jesus, to listen, to learn, to understand from him. And we need the hands of Martha to go and live out what Jesus teaches us. I was reflecting on my hands a couple of nights ago. Things I've done with my hands in my life. Starting off with school, I learned to write with my hands. I left school, I learned to build homes with my hands. I've built homes with these hands. Since then, I've fought with people with these hands. I've helped people who were dying in these hands. I've lifted people from places where they've hung themselves with these hands. I've held new life, my children, with these hands. I've pushed people away with these hands. And I've pulled people to me with these hands. I've kept people alive with these hands. And none of those things Jesus ever asked me to do. Jesus asked me to serve him with these hands. He asked me to feed the poor, the hungry, to clothe the naked, to lay hands on and pray with people, and to go and make disciples. That is all he's ever asked me to do with these hands. And I need Mary's willingness, her enthusiasm, her love for Jesus, her thoroughness in serving Jesus with these hands. And I need the heart of Mary so that I know what Jesus is wanting me to do, so that I'm being fed and nourished and strengthened by sitting at his feet. The heart of Mary and the hands of Martha. But what about you this morning if you don't know Jesus? What about you this morning if you have been away from Jesus' feet for some time? Jesus is already in Kirkliston this morning. He's looking for a home where he can feel comfortable in, where he can rest, where he can be ministered to, where he'll feel safe, where he'll feel loved, where he'll feel welcomed. And all you have to do is do what Martha did and invite him into your home. He's looking for an invite from you this morning. Jesus, come into my home. You don't have to have your home spick and span, because that's not how Jesus operated. It doesn't really matter what your life is like, what the state of your life is like, what's going on in your life. He'll just come in and he'll sit with you and he'll dine with you. And once you sit at his feet, he'll start to tell you the things you need to tidy up, the things you need to change. He's looking for a simple invite. Jesus, come. Come and dine with me so I can learn from you. The heart of Mary, the hands of Martha, an invite into your home. Mary chose the better portion. And I pray and God bless that you choose the better portion of spending time with Jesus. Amen.